Radio.
Connecting the Parish and School for Christ-Centered Mission. A presentation by Father John Pierce and Paige Bullen at the Proclaim 2016 Conference, brought to you by Cradio and XT3.
I don't know about you, but over the years there have been workshops where people from other countries come and tell us how wonderful whiz bang their parishes or their schools or their communities or their ministries are, and they sell their books at the door and things like that, and you wonder, oh, where do they get the money for that, or if only we could do this. But when you look at it, we're all doing great stuff in different ways, in an Australian way, in fact. Some of our parish communities are very small, some of them are big. I recently went to Enmore on a weekend and I counted 110 people between the two masses, whereas we have 1,200 of our place out of seven masses, two of them in the Evangelist. 5 years ago, there were 1,600. So there's drops in numbers all around the place. Small and big parishes are all affected by that. But it's not about numbers, it's about what we do in our relationship with each other. So, parish.
It's worth the big bucks I pay. So as was said, I'm a family educator amongst other things, and I'm deeply embedded in Marrickville. I've lived there for 20 years and been attached to the parish for all that time. I have three children, all who have been baptised at St Bridget's Church, all went through primary school at St Bridget's, and all made their sacraments in the parish. So I guess I'm invested in it up to my eyeballs, as is my family. What I love most about being a part of the community of Marrickville is the sense of home that I feel in the parish. The genuine sense of family that Marrickville fosters in all sorts of ways for myself and for my children. But I think the more interesting demonstration of what kind of a community Marrickville is not really my story or my children's story, but rather my husband's story. My husband doesn't identify as any faith, never has. I think there was some sort of lukewarm Anglican beginnings that kind of trailed off later on. But yet he is a central and active member of the men's club in the parish. He's extremely supportive of the school and the work of the parish and of Father John. And he regularly helps out with the fundraising and the fundraising. Wherever there's action, my husband is in the centre of it in some way. And I think this sense of inclusion, connection and welcome is one of our big strengths. My husband and I went to a parish dinner a while ago, and on the way home, my non-Catholic husband got in the car and said, "We're just so lucky to be part of such a welcoming community." And I guess he sees no barrier, no distance, no difference, because nobody else does. He even was asked to, by the men's club to carry the Madonna Dolorosa around the streets of Marrickville in our Good Friday processions this year. And he was absolutely, he felt so privileged, and he was beaming afterwards. Who knows where that stuff goes. And so I think that's a really good illustration of the community we're from. This presentation recognises the need for all of us, school and parish, to work closely, to celebrate relationship, and to find the right distance between us, recognising the gap might need to widen at times, and other times it needs to close over when we need to support one another. And so ultimately, if we, like the porcupines, accept the odd prickle from our neighbour, our communities will thrive and be happier places, more resilient, and able to do the great work that is ahead of us every day.
So we've got other words that we've had over the years, you've probably heard metaphors or images that describe the closeness or the distance. And in recent times we start to see a need to have bridges, to open doors, to create events together, to smell the barley, to smell the sheep. It's the image of a plate of cakes, a glass of wine, a cup of coffee or an invitation. All these are places, ways of connecting. But amidst all this is the value of sharing the story, to listen, to share. Jesus listened, Jesus shared, Jesus fed. So what's our context? We're in a western suburb. We're growing in density in the next 10 years as the state government is the site is between Sydenham and Bankstown. They're going to high rise within 800 metres of the station, so it goes up to the back fence of our schools. We'll see what happens with the plan. Mixed and changing culture and religious backgrounds. Significant Catholic and Orthodox population, if not by residence, by association. In the inner west, a lot of people come back to their parishes they started in as migrants, or that their cultural group associates with. So while they've been priced out of the rental market and haven't moved out to Macquarie Field, some of them, they'll come back once a month for, so meet up in the Tongan community, come to Mass and have a meal. In our area, there's a significant no religion group in the census. So politically swinging from a dominant Labor to Greens, and then the last election, Albo's seat went back to the Labor pretty strongly. So we're not sure where that will go in the future. Mission and mercy through evangelisation. What's mercy? Lots of theories. This is one I heard of recently. I think Mr. Francis came up with it. Mercy is, blessed are the merciful, for it is mercy that shall be shown to those who show mercy. Cast away your fear and have faith. Give your cares to the Lord and trust in him, for he is risen. The Lord your God is alive. I said that at Lord's Day recently. Mercy is giving yourself a fair go also. We're a subject of mercy. Mercy for others, mercy for yourself. I think so often pastoral ministers and most of the church forget that you've got to be merciful to yourself if you're going to be merciful to others. Otherwise, we're waiting for it to happen. Evangelization. I've seen a lot of theories or explanations of that over the years. This is one for the 4th of August. ACBC Media introduced the new director for the National Centre for Evangelisation, who's here today. Shane's gifts and his experience will make him a creative and empowering presence in the position, helping dioceses, communities and individuals to discover more of Jesus Christ and take up the great task of proclaiming his good news in fresh ways. You probably have a feeling like me, some of you, that new evangelisation in the last few years in some pockets has been going back to the way it was in the 50s or 40s. But new, from the talk we heard this morning from Cardinal World, is about fresh ways, new ways, and trying to find them that are appropriate. Our common meeting points so often is prayer. A baptism, we pray. A marriage, we pray. Someone dies, we pray. Someone's dying, we pray for them. They want confirmation. Well, whether they know or not, we're going to pray for them and with them. All the sacraments are about prayer. It's about connecting with God, God with us. So prayer in all its diverse forms, it's about connecting the soul with God. Sacraments, initiation, our preparation, celebration on Sunday and weekdays, marriages and funerals are all parts of that. Prayer is at the heart of all we do. So in our sacramental formation, we start with prayer. We don't assume the families are praying. But if we can even just get them by the end of it all to pray sometimes together, we make a big breakthrough. We change in where things are.
Yeah, you can see the heading there, sacraments, it's all about family. And in our places, I'm sure it is everywhere, family is central to what we do. The sacraments at Miracle are run by a team comprising of parents who have come from the primary school and have moved on, as their children have moved on, but they've hung around on the sacraments team, or they are parents who are currently also still at the primary school. We work with the parish staff, and my involvement on the sacraments team predated actually me being appointed family educator. So I've been on that team whilst my own children have made their sacraments, and then now obviously helping other families as they make the journey as well. We follow the CCD Archdiocesan program, and we hold our formation as family evenings all together, encouraging parents, carers and children to sit together and work together on tables, or all together, and on sharing ideas. who really, we stress it's not a theology degree, clearly it's a journey, and it's one that we all make in community with one another. John always introduces the program, as he's mentioned, with this idea. We start from this place of family prayer, naming prayer as key to family faith, and giving parents tools on how to introduce this if they haven't started already, or how to continue it and enrich it as they move along. We value add through the use of creative approaches to family prayer, through the making of artworks, and as I said at the beginning, I come from an art background, so I don't mind making things, and I'm a big believer in letting others experience that too. You can see in the picture we made banners to hang up for our first communion many years ago. They're still going strong. They were no sew banners, so that's why you can see the ladies there with the irons. But we worked together in a workshop. Marrickville, St. Bridget's is a really nice big space to hang things up and display things, and so we're very lucky there. We also did make them for confirmation as well. And we also value add on reflection days through the use of other craft, through song and through story. Okay, here's some more banners for confirmation. So the significance of this kind of approach, many hands, many eyes, many voices, is that the families find a level to connect with. For those who these steps in their journey are central to family life, either because of culture or their own personal connection to church, there'll be something to inspire them. But for those who are there just trying out something, or returning, or even ticking a box, we found a level of engagement that is comfortable and just enough to stretch things a little further. And so the benefit of having many of us working on the sacraments team is that our reach becomes quite large. And we find that we have a very diverse group of people, as I'm sure all of you would, coming through our sacraments program. But because there's quite a few of us on the team, usually they can find some level to connect with. So the program continues to grow annually, the Lord of Repeat Business, and families coming from far away. We never turn people away. If they can't make a session or they miss something, even though that can be a real headache at the logistics end, we recognise that family life gets messy and that faith encounters need to be invitational. And recognising that we may be the first time someone has experienced church in quite a long time. So we keep those encounters as positive as we can. We want them to leave feeling good, feeling like they are welcome. The only sin for families that miss significant proportions of the program is that the seating plan for the actual celebration is based on attendance. And that was Father John's idea. We've even had families leave state schools to come to the primary school after that interface with the sacraments program. They've come along, they've made their sacrament with us, and then they've decided that they like that sense of welcome. We've had quite a number of families do that. The parish continues to support the formation of its sacrament team members through invitations to conferences. One of our team has been kindly sponsored to come today, and encourage involvement in the family educator program running the school. So there's a lot of formation happening for the people on the team through the school as well.
We've all been encouraged by the little one-liners that come from the lips of Pope Francis over the last few years. And one of them was, don't knock on Monday for baptism. So who are we? We're like your parishes, I think. We've got families, we've got children and youth, singles, many seniors, people LGBTIQ, able and disabled, First Nations, descendants of convicts, migrants, refugees, everything. We don't know who people are these days. These are our people though, these are the people that God has given us to care for at this time. And I firmly believe that in parish and school we need to accept everybody and care for everybody, even the ones who are paying the neck. I just hope somebody else looks after them and I don't have to at times. sharing the love, that's what it is. There's a term, I was on a plane covered well. I was on one from Melbourne to Blenheim in February, and it was a skinny one. The lady next to me says, "Oh, who are you?" And I said, "I'm John. What do you do? I'm a priest." "Catholic, yeah." She said, "Oh, I'm a recovering Catholic." In which I said, "Yes, so am I." She said, "But you're a priest." I said, "We're all recovering from something. Our childhood or our teenage years, but that shouldn't define who we are." And we went on for a conversation for an hour and a half. And she found out what I was going to Blenheim for and said, "Oh, I might see you at it." It was the establishment of a new parish called Marlborough, which some of our men are in. I came back from Marlborough saying, "We are a new parish of 23 wineries, 7 churches of formerly 3 parishes." I think the wineries are the attractive part. But I hope that in any encounter with us at any stage is people have the messages, "You're needed here and you're welcome here." It'd be lovely if they came every week. It'd be lovely if they were on the plan giving. It'd be lovely, all this sort of stuff. But whatever level people are at, that's where they're at. And this is where they're at today. And as parish, we have an opportunity to make the connections with them and even introduce other people to them. But we keep saying we need more ministers or volunteers for the church to grow.
Okay, so just a little bit about the Family Educator Program. The Family Educator Program at St. Bridget's is 6 years strong, and we were one of the initial pilot 6 in the Archdiocese of Sydney. And the role of the Family Educator Project is to nurture strong and meaningful parish, parent, school relationships and to explore new models of supporting the spiritual, social and educational formation of families. It was formed as a response to the call for new evangelisation, and 6 years on, there are now 84 of us working across Catholic primary schools in Sydney. And it thrives in Marrickville, as it does in many, many places, because of the fluid exchange between parish and school, with initiatives often crossing between the two. And when we plan those initiatives, I guess we always are mindful that our community also is the parish, that it doesn't stop at the school gate, so anything that's organised for the Family Educator Project is always with the whole community in mind. Relationships are the premise of the Family Educator Program, parish life, and of course our faith. We recognise and continue to support and strengthen this through that kind of support and presence of both school and parish in everything we do. So parish staff are visible, central and active in the school calendar. We've got the slide there, that's World Teachers Day from a couple of years ago. Every year we celebrate it. And we always make sure that we invite the parish over to fully participate in what goes on that day, recognising, of course, that children's learning doesn't just happen in the classroom or on this side of the school gate, but of course it happens in the parish, in the wider community and family. And so it's really important and really symbolic, I think, that we celebrate the teaching work of the parish staff, Father John, on that day. You can see there the theme of that day was, "I teach what's your superpower." So naturally everyone had to have capes. And I thought it was a nice touch, "I preach what's your superpower." So that was every year we celebrate that, and that was the theme for that year. Okay, recently our Mercy Day celebrations worked at a number of levels too. Families received Mercy Tree kits. They were kits that were designed to take home so that they could work on some things around mercy at home and then bring them back to school. And then we celebrated the liturgy with Father John and Father Eric in the playground. Families came along to that, to which parents were invited. Reconciliation for all students were appropriate. There were class visits, a picnic lunch for families, and we also had an initiative called Gift of Bread operating out of our parish, very well supported there by the school, and they brought up their brand spanking new van into the playground. They shared bread and talked about their work in relation to mercy. So on that day, it was at all levels. It wasn't just a school event or, wheeling, Father John over to say the liturgy and then kind of wheeling out. He was embedded in that garden for quite some time hearing children's confessions. In fact, I had to send him a picture of the garden gnome by the end of the day because he'd been sitting there for a long time. But what it does show, I think, is that days like this wouldn't be possible without the wholehearted support of the parish and the ability of the school and parish to really come together for that common end. Similarly, school is visible, central and active in the parish through family masses, through attendance of staff and sacrament retreat days, and celebrations which I'll speak about later, through initiatives like the Gratitude Project, Unplugging, and our outreach with the Caney community, and I'll come back to those things. But these kinds of initiatives highlight the solid working relationships and a vision of school and parish as responsible for celebrating faith, growing community through fostering a sense of belonging, and a larger sense of daily life as sacrament. One good example of where the school, I think, has jumped on board a parish initiative, so it's kind of worked the other way, is this year the parish has done a lot of work helping the Newtown Asylum Seeker Centre as part of the parish's response to the Jubilee Year of Mercy. And through discussions with the parish council and Francis Rush, the CEO of the centre there, the school has springboarded into a whole range of initiatives designed to support the Mercy vision in the parish. We're now involved in a project connecting the children from Year 4 to similar aged children at the Newtown Asylum Seeker Centre, writing to one another, and there's plans for those children to meet at the end of the year. And we've done that also in partnership with the Sydney Story Factory. So again, there's outside community groups involved there, there's the parish and the school all working together to really drive home to our community, our families, this idea of mercy in action. Also this year, the RAC and myself organised staff to go and work at the Newtown Asylum Seeker Centre for the day. So these relationships are not one-off kind of photo ops, they're ongoing. And they're there really so that these things are working at a number of levels. And we kind of, I guess, really have a commitment to stick with those agencies that we decide to connect with. And it's an approach that we, I guess, are really aware that we've got to come at from several levels, not just one, and not just for the day. It's ongoing, and the message is much stronger and our reach is much bigger. Okay, here's another photo of, that's young William working on his letter to one of the Asylum Seeker Centre children. And of course the idea there in this particular project with the children is to look beyond the labels. So the children kind of come together, they write to one another, but it's about things that they enjoy doing. It's about the things that they might connect with a child because I like soccer, you like soccer, so I'll write you a letter. The children are paired up and they're now swapping kind of information just child to child. So it's not about you're from here and you're that background and I'm from here and I'm that background. This is really about going beyond that, and we're just children speaking to one another. And because of the nature of those children's situation who are in the Asylum Seeker Centre, it's very much focused on the present, okay, not about what's happened in the past, maybe not even what's going to happen in the future, but really focusing on being present to one another and the things that give us joy as children. It's important to say that though each of us is clear about our roles, I mean, Father John knows he's the parish priest, and I know that I'm the family educator and everyone knows the roles that they have, but the result starts to take a sort of very united feel when we start to blur the boundaries a little and we actually sort of connect beyond what our roles, you know, are. We're connecting, I guess, at a level where we're finding commonalities between the work of all of us, and we're not so precious about this is my bit and that's your bit. So there's a lot of kind of blurred, grey, kind of the way it looks is blurred and grey, but we're actually quite definite about what our roles might be. We are the porcupines, essentially. When we go beyond our gates, firm in the understanding of ourselves as one community, we stop seeing ourselves as individual entities. In Marrickville, we delight in blurring the boundaries between us. We have a lot of fun with that. using very targeted and deliberate strategies, we lose our kingdoms on purpose to the end result of working for the same kingdom. So at any time in our school parish calendar, you might see a parishioner, you might see an Orthodox school family, you'll see a Catholic priest, you'll see school staff all coming together to say work on the farm at Orchard Hills, which I'll tell you about in a minute. All welcome literally means all welcome. And that's one of the things I think that we're most proud of.
You said earlier our church numbers have dropped massively in the last 5 years, like everywhere else, but that doesn't mean we give up. So we've got a part-time pastoral associate for youth. It's one day a week. Been going for 1 year. We're reviewing that at the moment. He works at times with the youth ministry coordinator, Cassidy College. Pastoral associates, priests, staff in the school, we intermingle and share stuff. Sometimes Paige rings up and says, "Hey, are you there? I've got an idea." I might walk into the principal's office at either school and say, "Hey, I've got an idea." And we listen to each other, and the ideas sometimes take off straight away or they get set on for a little bit. But it's just creative ideas that God gives us to try and make a difference rather than say, "Oh, all is doomed." All is not doomed. God's working with us, inviting us to find new ways to get it.
So I mentioned Kerna Farm Days a couple of times, just sort of quickly outline what that looks like. I know many of you would be aware of the work of the Kerna community. So twice a year we visit Orchard Hills to the farm leased by them, and it's the kind of enterprise arm of their organisation. And we go there, families, parish families, we go there, Father John goes there, our school principal, we've had school staff, there's carloads and carloads of people descend on a farm. Kerna is so good-natured about having all these carloads of particularly primary-age children doing their best to help in the garden bed so lovingly planted. They're very, very patient with us. We do a bit of farm work. We have a mass in the shed, a lovely rustic mass all sitting around in the shed. And then we have a big shared lunch with Marrickville. Food is always central, and you never go too long without a feed. It's really that day is about church in action. We work with the Kerna community, helping those who struggle in our inner city neighbourhoods. And again, we find a balance where it's appropriate help for families. So the Kerna community, because of the nature of the work that they do, it can be really tricky to bring primary families into some of those, or to hear some of those stories. But we've just got the balance right where it's safe and appropriate for us and it's safe and appropriate for them. And we've all learnt a whole lot in our journey over the last 6 years with our association with the Kerna community. Again, it works on a number of levels. We've had the staff go to their residences in Surry Hills. We've had them companion members of the community. We've cleaned there. We've cooked food for them. So again, it's not just at one level, it's at many levels. We had a big parish celebration last year and Kerna brought all their lovely produce they make out of the farm and they had a stall there. So it's kind of intermingled again, and it's an ongoing relationship. Again, as I said, you know, not the photo op, the one-off, but working at many levels and remembering who our friends are and to keep that connection going and deepening and strengthening it in a whole lot of ways. Other things that are run through the school with the help from the parish, those people who know about the Family Educator Program, one of the big draw cards is a thing called Stop, Pray and Reflect. It goes for 15 minutes and it's for parent prayer time. I run it every Friday in the school, and really the point of me mentioning that is that it would not be possible for it to be as popular as it is without the support of the parish staff who toddle over and look after our infants and our toddlers. So our mums and dads actually get that 15 minutes without the distraction of young children, and they can actually focus for that 15 minutes on their own prayer life, their own relationship with God. And I think if they were sitting there and worried about the toddlers running around, or don't touch that, or you know they're into the books or whatever they're doing, probably wouldn't be as successful as it was. So again, something being run in the school, but absolutely supported by the parish in really creative and meaningful ways. It means a lot to that, you know, frazzled mum that she gets 15 minutes off on a Friday. And in numbers, I'm sure, aren't necessarily due to the content that I'm offering, but often just I get that 15 minutes free. We have school mass two times a term at the 9 a.m. on Sunday. We have family mass, and that's hosted by the year groups. And then we always have a shared morning tea afterwards. And of course, all the social justice and outreach activities like Planner Farm Day, mini guineas that are based in the school, are big supporters of gifted bread in the parish. And so always it's this interchange between the school and parish. And with school-based initiatives, always thinking, how can we get involved and support the work of the parish and vice versa?
Just leaving the slide there. The chicken man in the middle is Paige's son's son, second child. He was quite at home with the chooks in the chook shed out the farm. He thinks he's a cool dude, but once he goes out the farm, he forgot about that. He just got dirty. Another memory is, I think, the second or third time we had mass in the shed, another school, boys' school from a private college. They were there too, and when it's time for mass, some of our kids say, "Oh, John, where's your bag? I'll set up the mass." So they just create the environment, and the families of the private school were looking rather out of it. I don't think they've been in church for about 10 years or 20 years, and they're going like, "What's happening around here?" And they stepped into the space, but only just. So it was a bit of a new evangelisation for them, I think.
Another project that was run really successfully in the school and parish was our gratitude project last year. Quite a few family educators have run this project in their schools, but again, speaking today about the input of the parish, it's the gratitude project is called Be the One, based on the story of the lepers going away, one coming back to Jesus and saying thank you. It raises awareness of the well-being and spiritual benefits of gratitude. And it was extended into the parish mainly via Facebook, which was a really great way to engage individuals over in the parish with what was going on at school. Almost daily, we would put up reminders, John and I would put up reminders like this, and really raise awareness of the importance of gratitude. It was a terrific initiative that worked on both sides. And we also extended that into the sacraments that year with the families receiving everything that was going on in the school then too. John used the bulletins to get messages out. He gave it regular mentions in his homilies. And essentially we used the butterfly motif, which is why you've got one in your show bags, to send home to the school and parish families. And they got 10 butterflies in a bag. I'll show you a photo in a minute. And the idea was you found 10 things to be grateful for over 10 weeks. As a family, you write on those and you bring them back, and I'll show you what we turned those into. But also too in the parish, via Facebook, people were jumping on and they were actually making comments about things that they were grateful for too. So it was a really handy tool to get that message out there, a really easy one.
Right. Social media. I'm not an expert on this, but I jumped in and embraced it a number of years ago. And we had a Facebook page called St. Bridget's Church and Parish and Schools Marrickville, something like that. And after a year or so, we just shrunk it to St. Bridget's Marrickville. That's the brand we use for everything all the time. Our Facebook page has 1,186 people who like us at the moment. In the last 2 months, we win one or two and we lose one or two, get unliked and we get liked, a friend unfriended. So it's gone up a little in the last few weeks. Sometimes you put an article up, I re-gift articles, I find each morning. Some mornings I miss out. Yep, it takes about an hour of my day to get stuff. There's a half dozen people, administrators, they can put local things on, or if they come up with an article, it's worth passing on. sometimes, well, I think it was, we had about 5,000 kits on one piece one day. So it's a great evangelising tool to get message out. It comes from the church. It might be something comes from Vatican.va. It might be something from National Catholic Reporter in the USA. There's electronic journals. Sometimes it might be redirecting something that Mark Coleridge put out. He had a fantastic Facebook page and entries every day from the Synod of Bishops. And that was commented on around the world. So Brisbane became the voice of the Synod through Mark. So I'd encourage people to have a go at it, get some people together. The website doesn't get hit as much, but this one is, and it can be fresh, and it can be just putting a few, half a dozen photos and a paragraph off, like straight from the farm, and people hear about it.
Just with the gratitude project, so you see there, yeah, each family received, and the sacraments families received a little bag with the 10 butterflies, as I explained. And then we asked parish and sacraments and school families to return all their butterflies at the end, and we displayed them, as you can see in the image there, and with 1,500 reasons to be grateful. And it wasn't just school, it was all of us. And we also actually took the baskets before I hung them up. We took the baskets over for a big mass, and we had a big mass with the theme being gratitude at the end of the term. And then when people came back from the holidays, they were all strung up. So it's a really beautiful hands. It's a really beautiful way to illustrate all those things we've got to be grateful for. But also not setting any boundaries between us, or between the primary school, between the parish. It was just one community and everything we had to be grateful for there. So it's quite powerful in that way. So similarly, we at the beginning of, or in March this year, we held the St. Bridget's Unplugged project. Again, that was parish and school. So encouraging families and individuals to turn off their screens and to go screen-free just for 12 hours to lead into Holy Week. And so the encouragement there was to do something together as a family, to prepare yourselves for the important week that's ahead, and then you've got to turn your phones back on and celebrate with us at the 9 a.m. Palm Sunday Mass. And so again, we invited families to do that in their own homes. It was promoted via Facebook, and parents could also write on commitment cards, but then straight away, you turn your phones back on, whatever, it's all done, and now let's move over to the parish and over to church on that Sunday morning and begin this Holy Week together. And again, it was absolutely mirrored in the parish and spoken about there. And so again, it was one community, and it was quite powerful actually, all of us at the same time off any kind of screen. There's something really powerful about knowing that your whole community who have committed are actually doing the same thing at the same time. So it was a really powerful tool. So all these initiatives really are possible because of the open communication. John just mentioned, you know, I've got an idea and I'll go in wandering in, I've got an idea. The open doors are a really important part of how we work. So, okay, someone's on the phone. Usually with Father John, I just hang around until he gets off the phone. Other people might be a little more polite than that. But, the open communication and the open doors, the informal and formal conversations, the strategic planning, you know, yes, it all kind of, you know, we love blurring the boundaries, but there's a lot of planning to get it to look like that. Building on the good work done already and acknowledging that, and using all we've got. And the value of that is that we know our community from a number of angles, not just one. So not just, you know, I know this group of people and I'm ministering to them. It's about many voices, fresh eyes all the time, many conversations. And that way we have a big reach.
We are fortunate that we have a respectful, healthy relationship with our local Greek Orthodox Church, which is 300 metres away. Father Nicholas has been trying to retire as a parish priest because his wife said it's time to be grandfather, but the bishop says no. He's got a younger priest there. And the neighbouring one that we got together and had prayer at the primary school about 3 years ago. We came for morning prayer, and the other, and they were just blown by the fact that the first kid to speak got in the ministry, because the kids are Orthodox. We have a substantial Orthodox community, both in primary and secondary school. So Catholic College, we have once a term, year-level Mass or Reconciliation. Our state school, catechesis goes into 5 primary schools. We are a wedding church, which is a pain. If you like to sit in my office and listen to 6 Harley Davidsons going around the front driveway this afternoon, come on the right day, or the Hot Rods or the Hoons doing wheelies outside, but apart from that, it's a great ministry, and it's a way of hopefully encouraging, in marriage prep, we encourage couples to step back into church. Our liturgy, I edited this nicely. Usually we have good music. Usually we have good short homilies. Other times we don't. So we're no different to others. We try. We encourage participation as much as we can. The important part for me of parish and school ministry is let's work together rather than seeing the other as the other. Just work together, whatever way we can. Find tools or instruments or groups that work for you. We've had passionate family groups for about 20 years. That means some of them are very old now. One group calls it the Waiting for God group. There's people Paige's age who brought their kids along about 9 years ago and they're still going. Christmas and Easter are big times, and they can be big times for culture groups and for kids. We've had carols on the lawns for the last 3 years. They've been fantastic. Like you, children's liturgy is a word, youth and young adult, having pizza on World Youth Day Sunday after 6 o'clock mass, just putting it on. Encouraging the seniors club, being part of the men's club, which basically gets together, has a beer, has a barbecue. This Friday night we're going out to the pub. That's a very popular one, especially for the non-Catholics. We get 16 at that, sometimes only get 5 or 6 at other events. But numbers don't matter, it's a matter of creating opportunities for everyone to be there. So sometimes it's just having the courage to ask people to come with you. The green stars here are just a reminder that at the launch at Sydney Town Hall of Sydney Alliance a few years ago, it was packed with 2,000 people. We had 53 parishioners there with lime green scarves like these 5 people are. And if you see a Sydney Alliance publicity of that night, you can see us in 3 rows right on the left-hand side. That was St. Bridget's Marriage. They came because no one signed up for clipboards. I said, can you come? And they came. From there, we're new members of the Pastoral Council.
Can I just ask
one? Yep.
Yes, yes, and we've had big involvement from them too. Okay. Yeah, and that's where things like the art making workshops. Sorry, I'm shouting.
There's a microphone here. Yeah, and that's where the art making has been really, really valuable, because you can involve a big group of parents. So yeah, we've been very strategic about that. It's just happened over time that it's been primary school parents that have hopped on board. But we always have been call outs for all the time. But we'll take all comers. There's no boundaries or barriers there at all, you know. And it's that's part of our planning, is how to really be very inclusive of everyone who comes, but particularly to the parents, you know, because primary girls sort of knocking around together and kind of know the parish a bit better sometimes. So, yeah, always looking for ways in which we can reach those other parents.
John Pate, you both mentioned the words, you have to keep the right distance.
Mm.
What do you mean by that?
You start that one.
I just meant, when we designed this, what we were really talking about, I think, there is, you know, in terms of getting in each other's way. So that thing of there might be stuff going on in the school, let's say at the sort of principal level or whatever, that perhaps, you know, that has to be dealt with at the school level, and then where appropriate, the parish should come on board. So it's really about when we say the right distance, it's not a kind of negative thing. It's about that, you know, getting in each other's road and you know, the porcupine story again, like sometimes you can prickle someone, and that idea is sometimes you do need to kind of keep it a little bit separate, and other times you need to be absolutely rock solid. But it's that, I guess, that fluid relationship, that flexibility that was mentioned this morning, that's really what is meant by that.
And some people image the gap as being bigger than it is. It doesn't have to be. I find it easier to sit down with the principals and talk, go for breakfast with one of them, have coffee, whatever, and that's what's going on, how to work together and for the common building of the kingdom. And before we get hit again, there's a page here called homework, and this is what we'd like you to go home to continue this exercise. It ain't heavy, but it might help you. Go into your parish or school and map all your success stories. It's, they're out there. There's good things happening between parish schools, high schools, whatever. Write them down. Invite others to participate, to name it. They'll have something that you might have missed. And circle the wagons, light the fire, open a bottle, share a prayer of thanksgiving, sing a song, celebrate, whatever works for you, make it happen. Good news is happening in our parishes. We're doing good stuff. With limited resources, a lot of the time, I find it's usually good to invest in stuff. So the borrowers and your dad was sort recently said, oh, something, there's a good deal going on. Oh, let's get it made. It's a minimum buy 1,000. Oh, that's all right. Well, selling for 35 cents, so gives you an idea how much borrowers really cost. Someone will pick that up and say, St. Bridget's Miracle, where's that? Same as your newsletter. Encourage the parishioners to take a parish newsletter home and leave it on the bench. The non-practicing teenagers or older might pick it up. In the Melbourne parish where I was before Miracle, one parent came up one Sunday and said, you will be amazed. My pagan son last Sunday said, where's the second half of that article? I said, what article? I said, the newsletter. Or was it to be continued? Go to the temple. People read stuff. You know, so let's run at it. So that's the homework. Go home and map it out. It's not a big exercise. Celebrate with a glass of wine. And have faith. The Lord is with us on the journey. Have hope. It's not a version of thing. Good things will happen if you work at it and have love. God loves you. The people love you, mostly. You can't pay the mums in every parish, come on. You should love you too, be encouraged, and encourage each other. Have a go.
That was Father John Pearce and Paige Bullen with Connecting the Parish and School for Christ-Centered Mission. This presentation was part of the Proclaim 2016 conference on the theme, On a Mission of Mercy, Evangelizing Parishes, which was hosted by Broken Bay Diocese Australia. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.